Hey, well, good to see you. We're in a series called Within, and this is the very last week. We've been talking about where do we get the power to make some of the changes that we want to make in our lives. We started the year with this series, Have This Be the Best Year Ever, sort of a catalyst, not just for 2019, but for lots of years that follow.
But then the question comes, where does the power come from? You guys didn't know I could do that, did you?
It's pretty good. Where does the power come from? And what we've been talking about is the power comes from God. The desire comes from us, and we mix it in with God's desires. But at some point, where does the power come from? Grab your note sheet, if you would. Let me read the theme verse to you. Since we are living by the Spirit, capital S. So there's lots of types of different spirits. You go to the Ute game, there's a lot of spirit there. Go to the Jazz game, there's a lot of spirit there. Go to the BYU game. Don't go to the BYU game, but... just playing. No, there's a lot of spirit there. But you go to sporting events, you go to clubs and different things, lots of spirit there. Small S. This is big S. Holy Spirit, God. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives because there's power there. There's power there. Now, here's the big idea, and this weekend it's a question, so write it in your notes. Are you in position to receive God's power? So it's not a question, is there power? It's not a question, do we need power? The question is, am I in position to get the power? And this is the example we've been using right here. We've got all these pinwheels today. All the kids are going to get it over in their classes today. But this is a fan, and it's been on the entire time, but you can't see the air moving. You can't see the power until you get this into position. And now you can see it and even hear it. Take it out of position. This fan can be as powerful as you want, but if this isn't where it's supposed to be. So the question is, how do we get into position to get the power? The power is always ready, and God's always got it for us, but how do we get ourselves into position? Because lots of time I'm out here wanting things to change, wondering, well, how am I going to get the power? Give me the power. How's something going to change? I'm out here. How do I get into position to get the power? Now, that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, Jesus had an interesting take on it, so I'm going to read it to you. Here's some things he said. One time when Jesus was eating with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, wait here until you receive what the Father's promised you. So there's a position. Stay right here. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. So he's talking about, he puts it in sort of an interesting context, and he puts it in a context that when the power comes into us, it also goes out of us. So it's also for other people to experience the power. He uses this idea of being a witness. And he strategically talks about these three different areas. If you notice, and you maybe caught it, was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so if you were like to go out in a circle, you know, you were to say, okay, I'm in Jerusalem, next stop would be Judea, next stop would be Samaria, and then would be the ends of the earth. It's just like our lives. I have my family, which is real close to me in my circle. Some of my neighbors, some of my best friends, some people that I've known throughout my life, that's sort of my Jerusalem. Then you go out a little bit further, that's the people I work with. I see them almost every day, and you know, I cross paths with them, maybe a sporting event, or they're friends of my children. They're the people just a little further out. And then you go a little further out, acquaintances, people I do see at work, but I don't know them very well. And then there's those strangers, you just meet them a few times in your life, and what Jesus is saying is that there is a power for all those different circles in our life to be a witness. And I like the term or this idea of a witness. So the idea is, and Jesus isn't saying you have to be a teacher. You don't have to give a lecture on God. You don't have to be a great storyteller. You don't have to be a prophet. He's saying to be a witness. And everybody knows what a witness does. A witness just tells what they saw. If you get called into a courtroom and you witnessed, you know, maybe a car accident, and they come and they interview and you have to go into a courtroom, they're going to put you on a stand. They're going to just say, tell people what you saw. And you just tell them what you saw. You may not have seen everything perfectly. You may not understand it perfectly, but everybody could say what they saw. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that there's a power that when you get into position, the different things that happen in my life, your life, we can tell other people about them in all these different circles that we move in. Okay, so that's the idea. So what is it we're trying to tell them? How do you get into position? How do you make sure you're there? Right, number one in your notes, you can pull a U-turn. If you're a movie watcher, what's your favorite U-turn you've ever seen pulled? I like Batman. But I mean, you know a U-turn. I mean a screechy one. I mean, you're going this direction and you just pull a U-y. You can pull a U-turn. Let me read you something about it here, right here. Jesus said to them, it's written that the Messiah would be killed and rise from death on the third day. You saw these things happen. You are witnesses. There's the circle, that word right there. You have something to say. You've got some experience with God. You're witnesses. You must go tell people that they must change and turn to God. And I will send the Holy Spirit just as the Father promised. Here's a word a lot of people don't like, repentance. That's not an easy word. That's kind of a scary word. Nobody likes that word. Somebody comes up and says, you need to repent, brother. And out comes, the defenses come up. That doesn't feel like a kind, gentle word. Maybe you've seen someone before and someone said, you have to go through a repentance before you come. You know, I want to clear some things up about this idea of turning to God and make a contrast with you today, the idea of repentance. Repentance often gets confused with the word penance. Now, what penance is, the definition of penance is somebody in a religious organization, a church or some kind of a group, comes to you and says, these are the things you need to do to show how sorry you are for what you've done. And after you've done those things, penance, then you can come back to God. That's what penance means. A lot of religions have penance. But repentance isn't that. If you get on your phone, you look in the dictionary, it says, what does repent mean? It means to pull a U-turn, to turn around. It doesn't have anything to do with religion. It means to stop and turn, to repent. That's all it means. It means to stop and turn. It's the very first step. And it is what and where the power starts. Hey, when you're trying to repent, when you're trying to do a bunch of things to prove to God how sorry you are, you're out here. But you're willing to turn to God? That's where the power is. Who do you know that needs to hear that? They're secretly working so hard to figure it out, like, what could I do to show God I'm really sorry? Because somewhere along the line, they heard the word repentance, and they thought that's what it meant. And it doesn't. Penance does. Someone could be told to go do their penance. But let me show you, and this is the reason it's important to you. When it comes to temptations and things going in our life, this is why it's so important to understand repentance as to turn around, to do a 360. Here it is right here. I brought one of the great temptations known to man today to the church service. This is one of the greatest temptations there is, the bag of Doritos. I don't know about in your world, but in my world, that's a big temptation right there. Now, here's the problem. So if I'm trying to break this temptation, this represents, I don't want to eat these Doritos, this entire bag. I don't want to do it. And so I'm like right here, and I'm trying to back away from the Doritos. I'm not going to eat the whole bag tonight. I'm just not going to. I'm not even going to open the bag. And, it's like there's a magnet in it because they've dipped it in crack, and it's like pulling me towards it like this, right? You're just like, you can't get away. And you can, when you're this close, you can already taste the Doritos. You're like, I have to have these right now. I could pass out if I don't get them. And you're trying to back away from them. And then this is what starts going through your mind. How about this right here? Everybody else gets to eat Doritos. Why don't I get to eat Doritos? It's not like it's not like it's heroin or I'm going to go to prison for eating Doritos. It's not that big a thing. How come I'd have it? The next thing you know, you got it over your head. Doritos. You know why? Because when you try to back away from something that you're looking at and trying to overcome and you're like this right here, this is where you're at. You're way over here. There's no power there. Let me show you the power. It's a U-turn. And face this direction. I can't even see it. Do you know that repentance allows me to not try to move away from something bad, but to turn towards something good? My desires, what I want to see different and better in my life, turning towards God over here, having Him call me away is, and moving towards it, is what repentance is. Now you might be thinking, that is so silly, bag drills. But what if it's not silly? What if this is a relationship at work, a temptation that you know that your boundaries aren't clear in? You're starting to flirt. And you're just like this. You're caught just like this. You can't get away. What if this is overspending, shopaholic? What if this is shame from a divorce? You can't get over it. You're trying to back up. What if this is a struggle with your children? See, we all go through stuff, you guys, that wants to captivate us. And we try to rustle up the power, and we try to fight it like this and repent. To turn away and go a better direction. That's what repent means. It means change and turn to God. That's what it means. Who needs to hear that in your world? Because what Jesus is saying is, if you can get this, you know something. I'm trying to just say, hey, have you ever thought of just turning towards God with it? Yeah, but don't I have to overcome it first and not do it anymore? Oh, no, not at all. Just turn towards Him. This year is sort of our year of outreach at East Lake. We're trying to build bridges and invite people to church and do different things. And one of the things we have to offer as a witness is, you don't have to change a thing. Just turn around and turn towards Him. Pull a U-ey. Number two, in your notes, write this in. You can change your point of view. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Now, your attitudes and thoughts must constantly be changing for the better. So, changing for the better. Write that down. Circle it. Changing for the better. So, what's that look like? Here's why. Because when it means my feelings and what I think can change. Now, I brought a picture for you right here. This is the Space Needle up in Seattle. And I've been up in that before.
And when you're up high in that thing, you can see the entire area. So cool.
When I do that, I don't even know what I'm going to do. It just happens. That right there, you get up in the very top of it, and you can see the entire city from up there. Actually, there's a restaurant up there that turns 360s. In 1 hour, you can see the entire area. Now, when you're up in the Space Needle and you're looking out over the bay or the city, east, west, north, south, you can be in any point of view that you want, but wherever you are, that's what you're going to see. Now, there's other points of view that are to be seen as well. Years ago, I went to see my friend play in this band, and we were in this club, and they had just an awesome rock and roll band, man, and they were just going crazy up on the stage. They were really good musicians, just really fun, and they were having a lot of fun on stage, and they were all moving and dancing and doing their thing, dancing and having a good time. This place is just rocking, except for the lead singer. It was the craziest thing. The lead singer was just standing up on the front of the stage in front of the mic and was just standing like this singing, not even moving. And he could sing too, man, but just not a muscle. And after a while, it started to bug me. I was like, what's with that guy? Everybody else is dancing, having a good time, all over the stage, you know, doing cool stuff, and this guy's not doing anything. What's up with that guy? And sure enough, next song comes, they're playing everything, and he's just standing there. I'm like, then I started really getting nervous. Look at this geeky guy up there. What was his singer, you know? And then I noticed a seeing eye dog at his feet. And then all of a sudden, I could see that he had dark glasses on. And I realized he's blind. And I asked him the next one, oh, yeah, their lead singer's blind. And in an instant, I had a different point of view. See, what the Bible's saying and what we want to try to get across in this whole idea of having the best year ever. Remember, we had this graph. I'm going to put it up again from that series. And it said there's an event, then there's an interpretation. And there's a choice. I had a totally wrong interpretation of their lead singer because I had the wrong point of view. I had one point of view. He's not moving around. Doesn't look like he's having any fun. But when it dawned on me, what point of view are you so committed to that you wouldn't allow God to take you to a different position to see something different? What relationship are you in? And you got it all figured out. You know exactly what it is. You're so absolutely sure. What if you're wrong? Like I was. Everything changed. It's just like it says, what you think and feel. I was like, all of a sudden I started thinking, man, that guy's courageous. to go up there and sing on stage when you can't see anything. That guy's amazing to be able to be up there and sing in front of all these people and he can't see them. And I mean, I could. Can you imagine being blind and everything changed when my interpretation changed? Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of people trying to figure out life out here. Here's where they are. And the reason is they are so convinced that their point of view is the one they have to have. When actually, God wants to take them over here and show them a completely different point of view. The one they have might even be correct and accurate, but it's not the one God wants them to see. Now here's the third thing, and jot this in your notes. You can rebuild it better. A man was on a little sailboat, and he got out pretty far, and he's having a good time solo sailing, and he capsizes it, and the boat goes down, and he just barely is able to grab onto a life preserver, but he's swept out to sea. And as he gets out there, he's way, way out there. I mean, he can't see land. He is way, way out there. He's swept out to sea, and he's got this little tiny life preserver that he's just clinging on to. He can't even see land from out there. But sure enough, a fishing boat starts to come towards him. And as it comes towards him, it gets a little closer, and someone says, there's a man there. And he looks like he's got a life preserver. And so as the fishing boat gets closer and closer, it stops and says, hey, you're saved. We're here to rescue you. And the man yells up and says, oh, I'm okay. I got this life preserver. Do you know one of the most important things God does for us? Is he shows us that the way we're doing life can be better and rebuilt better. There's an ancient story about a big family, 12 brothers, way, way back in the day of kings and kingdoms. And it happened in Egypt. And this large family, as you can imagine, we're from Utah, so we know large families. Like there's 12 boys, so there's lots of fighting, and there's lots of jealousies, and of course there's a favorite, as there always is. So Joseph, this kid, one of the younger ones, is his dad's favorite. And his dad doesn't make any, you know, effort to conceal it. He's just like, you know, I like this kid the best. And so he gets the most, and his birthdays are the best. And, you know, he, like, that's how this family dynamic is. And the other kids, you know, these other brothers, they finally get more and more fed up with it. And it gets uglier and uglier. And finally, and this is a true story, finally someone wrote it down, put it in the Bible. They arrange for this kid to be kidnapped and taken off, and he becomes a slave, which is no mystery to us. We read about that stuff all the time. And he becomes a slave in another country. He's not the favorite anymore. Not with his family. Doesn't speak the language. Goes from being the great thing in his family to a slave, and everything's a shamble. And through an interesting turn of events, he does the king a huge pharaoh. They call the pharaoh is what they called him in that day. He does him this favor. The king has this dream that's really bothering him. He's a very superstitious person, and he has this dream that's really bothering him. He can't find anybody to help him understand what the dream means. And he asks all these people. Nobody can help him figure it out. And he's one of those people that you maybe know someone like this. They have a dream and it just bugs them. They just can't shake it. It's like, oh, I gotta figure out what does this dream mean. And this is that type of guy. We all know those people. It's just worse and worse and worse. And worse for him. And finally, you know, like he can hardly even rule the country. And someone says, I think I know someone that might be able to tell you what your dream is. So they bring this kid Joseph up before him, and nobody can tell the king what the dream means, but Joseph can. Because Joseph knows God. And he tells the king, he says, I don't have any idea what your dream means, but I bet you God will tell me what your dream means. And he does, and he's right. And the king is so grateful, this kid goes from slave to governor. Can you imagine? If you knew a busboy in a restaurant and a week later you opened up the paper and he was governor of Utah. I mean, that's the story that had occurred. You know, one of the reasons we started East Lake Church is just so people would have a place that they could come and they could rebuild something. You know, our message isn't just to get over or recover. Our message is rebuild it better. When someone goes through a bankruptcy or a really messy divorce, or someone finds out something's happened in their family, and I mean the stuff that we all know happens, but nobody wants to talk about it, and it leaves you devastated. I mean, he was a slave in Egypt. Who do you know in your life right now, and they're going through something, and it's been a shambles for a long time? Something happened. And maybe the best they could hope for is they could recover. We started Eastlake Church, yes, so people could recover, but even better than that, they could rebuild it better. The next marriage would be healthier. The next year of parenting would be more insightful. When they got a chance to rebuild their finances, they were wiser with their finances, and they were generous, and they're a blessing to others. Rebuild it better. When all this thing happens in this story, his family gets so desperate. The dream was about a famine. They were going to run out of food. And his family actually comes all the way down to Egypt from Israel. And when they see Joseph, listen, they're all scared. What happened? And this is so crazy. This is what he says to him, and I had it up on the screen. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. You brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about these present results, to preserve many people alive. One of the things we're doing at Eastlake this year is that we want to emphasize how we're reaching out to children. More and more adults are having a lot of difficulties with going to church, and it's difficult to reach them, and we continue to try, but we're finding out that kids are still really super open. And children are open to hearing about God. And you might say, well, geez, Robin, that's, you know, are you actually trying to get to the adults through the kids? I mean, you're going to try to reach the kids? And I'm like, yeah. Where would you have been if someone could explain to you how to be forgiven? Do you know how much difference it would have made to me if I could have understood, I could have prayed about something to God and asked him to forgive me of a sin or help me with some shame? Like, what would your childhood have been like if you could have just stopped for a moment and gone to God and asked him to help you with a temptation that got a hold of you and took you way down the road? Kids are people too. In fact, you got a connection card today. On the back of it, it has an area where you can sign up to work with kids. We're trying to plan a whole bunch of different events and different things to reach out to them because here's the thing. One of the great things about kids is they haven't built it bad yet all the way. So if you can reach in and work with them and design some things to be with them, you can reach them at a time where they're still open. They're not thinking the same things we are. It's a crazy story that happened down in the South, and this school was integrated, white and black, and one of the white kids comes home from school, and his mother says to him, you know, tell me about who you were playing with today. She's kind of beating around the bush, and you know, they're just like kindergartners, first graders, and tell me if you meet any friends. Oh, I met Sammy today. Well, tell me what he was like, and I met John. Well, what was John like? And so John's great in kickball, and he's funny, and he shared some of his lunch with me, and we sat by each other all day. His desk is right next to mine, and finally the mom gets around to it and says, well, honey, is Johnny black? And the little kid said, I don't know. I'll ask him tomorrow. Wouldn't it be nice to live in a world like that? Now listen to me. Kids do. Their hearts are open to God. They haven't been squashed by religion yet. Nobody's made them jump through a bunch of religious hoops and dress certain ways or think certain things. They're just walking around like this, trying to reach out to them. Who do you know that needs to rebuild? See, our message as a witness is, hey, you can just pull a U-turn. God can take you to a different point of view. We're witnessing and saying, hey, you can rebuild it in a better way that will blow your mind. And look at the last thing today, the bottom line, more power equals more hope. Someone prayed this prayer. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace as you trust in him. then you'll have more and more hope, and it will flow out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a myth. Circumstances create hope. They don't. Power does. We've been talking for the last couple years, we want to have this family center, and we want to have a place where we can open a daycare and a preschool and have these counseling services and these different types of resources for parents to help with parenting and do our church services there. These are great chairs. You got a cup holder for your coffee. But it would be nice to have our own building. And so you got this hope, you know, this is going to happen somehow. And then you take a look at people come and tell me, they said, are you a nut job in Utah? You don't have enough money. You're never going to get a building. You better start liking that theater and that smell of popcorn, boy. It's like, you're never going to have that. What are you thinking? You know? And I can't see anything that makes me think we're ever going to, ever, except for power. Circumstances do not make hope. Power does. And when you have the power, then you can start to see the circumstances. Hope always precedes faith, and hope comes from power. Now, here's the crazy thing. How many people would think that the power is going to come on them when they repent or turn towards God? They're out here thinking, these are the things I've got to do. Just turn. How many people are thinking they're up in the space and they're looking out there and they say, look, right there, I'm absolutely sure that's exactly what it looks like. They have no concept that God wants to take them to another place up in the space needle where there's power. How many people do you know that the best they're hoping for is either to forget about it or to recover? And we're talking about rebuild better.